A word of warning. What follows includes harrowing testimony and graphic descriptions of human rights violations.
The Truth Commission was a bitter pill to swallow for the family of Black consciousness leader Steve Bantu Biko. But it was even harder for them to accept when five former security policemen applied for amnesty in 1997 for causing Biko's death 20 years earlier. It seemed as if Biko's killers would finally tell the truth about how he suffered brain damage and died in detention. But when they appeared before the Amnesty Committee in September and December 1997, they again denied killing Biko. Harold Snyman, Danki Sibert, Ruben Marx, Johan Bierneke and Gideon Nivot maintained that Biko's death was an accident for which he had been partly responsible. Darren Taylor and Zolan Tutu report.
Inspire with your heavenly wisdom all those who are to lead us as we remember with thanksgiving your son, Steve Biko, on the 20th anniversary of his death. The time has come. The moment of truth has arrived.
We don't believe, for instance, in the so-called guarantees for minority rights.
Steve Biko.
Because guaranteeing minority rights implies the recognition of portions of the community on a race basis. We believe that in our country there shall be no minority, there shall be no majority, there shall just be people. And those people will have the same status before the law, and they will have the same political rights before the law. So in a sense, it will be a completely non-racial egalitarian society.
This is Steve Biko's dream in 1977. 20 years later, the whole country wants the truth. From the mouths of the security policemen who interrogated Biko in room 619 of the security branch headquarters in Port Elizabeth. Advocate George Bezos remembers saying, "As your worship pleases," when the inquest magistrate absolved the security police in 1978 of Biko's death.
When the ruling was made, there was hardly anything more than we could do other than to advise the deceased's relatives that perhaps one day the truth will come out.
For the Biko family, that day arrives on the 10th of September 1997, when amnesty applicant Colonel Harold Snyman takes the stand.
Sy se optrede hierdie was weerbarstig, uitdagend en het aggressief voorgekom.
Snyman describes Biko as stubborn, defiant and aggressive. Biko refuses to answer any questions. "Stand up," screams Brigadier Danki Sibert, grabbing Biko by the collar.
Toe het daar van sy kant af ook vuishoue na ons toe uitgedeel.
He was also trading punches with us. We tried to restrain him, but in the process we also punched him.
In die proses het ons ook enkele houe na hom geslaan.
I went into my room and prayed. Oh Lord, what is wrong now? What had happened to my child?
Mamcethe Biko.
They knock, I come out. Where is Steve? I don't know.
Let me tell you, in the whole world.
Kaya Biko.
That my brother was persecuted for 13 days before he died. It's not a matter of hit and run. That like somebody being shot.
Ek het vinnig vorentoe beweeg.
Johan Bierneke.
I moved forward quickly. I grabbed Mr. Biko's arm with which he was lashing out at us. I shoved him in the chest with my left shoulder. I wanted to prevent him from assaulting Captain Sibert.
Ek wou verhoed dat hy Captain Sibert aanrand.
Jolagbare sy kop het beslis volgens my mening teen die muur gestamp. Ek het dit gesien.
Your Honor, he definitely hit his head against the wall. I saw it. He could also have hit his head when he fell to the ground. I noticed that the deceased seemed to be in a state of unconsciousness because he was disorientated. He had a dazed look in his eyes.
His head injuries had caused him to become incontinent. Was he taken to the toilet at any stage?
He was not fully conscious and he wasn't taken.
When the doctor did come, his clothes and his blankets were soaked with urine. May I suggest to you that it is evidence of utter contempt of Mr. Biko as a human being and clear hatred.
September 77 on Elizabeth where the fine it was business as usual in police room 619. Oh,
two days, the police chained the unconscious Biko by his hands and feet to a steel grill. Then, they load him, naked, into the back of a Land Rover and drive him 1,200 kilometers to Pretoria Central Prison. Biko speaks like a baby, foams at the mouth, slurs, and is dead on the 12th of September 1977. And still amnesty applicant Ruben Marx maintains that he didn't mean to harm Biko.
If you feel that you've done nothing wrong, is it really necessary for you to apply for amnesty?
Frankly, I think it's not necessary.
I killed Biko. You won't get away from me. That was your standard opening remark in relation to detainees, Mr. Siebert.
Your Honor, with the greatest contempt, that's a lie. Wait, that's not even a lie, it's a blatant lie.
He was allowed to rot in a cell, naked and ill-treated, and he came to the room and he was beaten, as a result of which he died. Those are the facts. Before they get amnesty, they've got to say who inflicted the fatal blow. They have evaded it. They covered it up then at the inquest. They are covering it up now.